In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
It better work this time. I can see me.
Okay.
But I'm still smaller than I'm used to seeing. I'm a little nervous.
Well, you know, you can change the... on a lot of these programs, you can... You can zoom out or zoom in to the... to that view of the... you know, of the recording. So that you can see further out and it can look smaller. Do you know what I'm saying? It probably makes no sense to anyone listening.
I kind of know what you're saying, but it's weird. Well, I can also just up the volume. I mean, up the, yeah, the decibels later.
Okay.
So that's it, people. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast that is now super, super famous. And I mean that seriously. We are super, super famous. And there is no other podcast that is super, super famous.
No.
At all.
We're the only one.
Just us. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 99.
Not to be confused by those of you who may have read in the paper today that today was episode 100. It
no,
is not.
It's 99 today.
Today is 99.
Our last double-digit episode.
I wonder if that, not playback speed, I should not do that. I should probably not mess with that.
Unless we want to sound like chipmunks on our...
I don't know what that...
Or the opposite of chipmunks,
nah,
whatever that would
really
be.
I really broke it. I don't know what I did.
Are we still recording?
We're definitely still recording.
Maybe you just better stop.
I've got the playback speed at 1.02, so this might be... We'll talk a little slower. This is what happens when I leave the house with sound equipment.
Yeah.
It comes back and it's not right. Anyway, Mark will tell us if we sound weird.
Yeah, right.
If we do, sorry about that. We'll try and fix it. Anyway, welcome to episode 99. And
that sounds cool, doesn't it? Episode 99. Friend.
Yes.
It kind of rolls off the tongue.
I want to make a Prince joke, but I didn't have one. For once, I think it is a definitive possibility we might have new listeners on this episode.
Oh.
I think it's possible. Good. Therefore, I just want to say, if you're new to this, I'm Tony, that's William. We have a magical hat. It is magic in that it checks its own email. So when you email something to it, it spits it out into itself on little cards. And we read those, questions, topics, that kind of thing, and talk about them till we get bored. That's the whole show.
The whole show.
I don't mean it's over now.
And if you missed any part of that explanation, don't worry. You can find us in the Gazette. We'll tell you all about it there.
It doesn't really explain too well. It also didn't have a URL.
No, it
which
didn't.
Came up a few times. Luckily, we have incredibly good SEO for the phrase magical talking hat.
That's true.
Doesn't come up a lot.
No.
Basically, it's just us and a couple references to the sorting hat from Harry Potter.
Yep, yep.
And we're on top. In fact, you don't even need the... If you type magical talking hat into Google with no quotes, we're the first thing.
Huh. Well, that's good.
So we are awesome. And we are getting a lot of visits to our website today.
We are.
Yes. Hmm. Not breaking any records. And most of them don't appear to be clicking on episodes, although some are, but a lot of people visiting. I got a lot of publicity today at work.
Good.
Found new people who are going to try and listen, found people that were listening that I wasn't aware was listening. It was pretty cool. I wrote the report and thanked him again.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad you did that.
It was pretty neat. I liked it, other than my hair, I really liked that video. It was well put together.
Yeah, I thought so too.
It was pretty neat. I didn't realize he was videotaping while we were recording. I thought he was taking photos. So
oh,
that
yeah.
was kind of weird
yeah.
to find bits and pieces of that. But that was fun.
Well, you know what? That reminds me. The story I told about the libation, I did tell it before on the podcast.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Which? It was in the same podcast where you tell that joke about the 10,000 acres or how many acres it was.
Oh, see, it got eclipsed. It got eclipsed by my awesome...
Although it's in the description of that episode. I just by pure accident, I was looking through our old episodes, and I was looking at that for some reason. Oh, there it is. I knew I told that story
so
before.
So tune into episode 100, already in reruns.
Yeah. You already hear a story you've heard before.
I feel like starting with episode 101, we should just put out remastered versions of the old
yeah.
episode.
Yeah. We don't have to get together anymore.
Exactly. Episode 1 will just be, you know, clean up the sound on it a little and go from there. Because we hit the big time now.
Yeah. So we can take it easy.
Oh, yeah. No, we have another request for another interview.
We do?
Sort of. I it's weird. I don't know. Oh, yeah, we do.
What's weird about it?
I don't want to say on here in case they listen.
Well, they're going to know now if they're listening. Who else would you be talking about besides them?
Well, we could be famous. I'll talk to you about it later. It's weird.
Okay.
But we had a phone message about a thing.
Okay.
Thing, so, again, next week, episode 100 is going up. It has been recorded with special guests. Many people keep asking me who the special guests are. I say you just have to listen and find out. Although, if you look at the video on the Gazette website, you can see pretty much.
If you know what these people look like.
Well, yeah. You can at least see some numbers. If you want to see that video and read that article and you don't live in this Iowa City area, on the blog, I put up a thing this morning.
So you
can go there and check it out. It's the same article as in the paper, and in the paper there was just a still photo instead of the video.
Oh, I didn't even see the paper.
Right there.
It's right here?
Yes.
Wow, this must be your alternate universe self because it has a goatee.
The other side.
Oh, that's Iowa wrestling. Okay, never mind. There you are.
I have never learned how to read. Also, you, which I was told by certain individuals today that you bear something of a resemblance to John Corbett. And they meant it in a complimentary way.
Who's?
John Corbett, possibly best known as Chris the DJ on Northern Exposure, later known as the male lead in Big Fat Greek Wedding, and just playing romantic leads in a lot of kind of sad things, like Lifetime movies and stuff.
I don't look like that guy.
In that picture, you kind of do. In general, I think you look less like him, but in that picture, a little bit, the angle does it a certain way. But multiple requests today... Or not requests, but multiple people saying they were so happy to finally have a face to go with your voice. From various people that knew me already, but have never actually seen you.
Your eyes are closed in this picture.
I know, right?
I'm sure there were a better photograph. There were better stills from the video.
That's
one of the things I liked about the video was some of the shots with you and me, and I thought, oh, that's really cool. I wish I had that like picture.
But instead,
that would be cool.
There's that. Anyway, yeah. You are welcome to keep that because I'm getting more.
Oh, okay, well, because I know we didn't get one. We didn't get one.
A coworker came over and said, "You probably want a copy of this, don't you?" And I said, "Oh my God, yeah, they're missing!"
Wow, but this is basically the text is like the same as
the text is identical, I believe.
And Max, how did you pronounce
Max Freund, I believe.
What a nice guy. He was a really.
He is. I'm a little worried he's going to listen to episode 100. After he left, when I started talking about how he looks like Adam Levine.
Oh.
But it's not a bad thing. Adam Levine's a very handsome
man.
Well,
it doesn't matter. I'm just saying he's a really nice guy.
He was really cool.
And very professional. And then what he put together was...
I wrote him today and thanked him again.
Yeah, what he put together was so nice.
And I did mention, and I mentioned it in passing because I didn't think it was a big deal, that 100 wasn't till next week. And I said, that's not a problem, though. If people go looking for it, they'll still find a new episode. Turns out, not him.
Well, I didn't
think... His editor changed it.
Yeah, I didn't think that... Because he wrote the date down. We watched him do that.
That's very weird.
But anyway, speaking of sending notes of thanks, I sent a thank you note to the people that participated.
Yes, you did.
Okay, so I wasn't sure if it got through for...
Well, it got through to me. Oh, okay. I don't know if it got through to them. I don't care, so I didn't send it.
Well... I just wanted to make sure that the other people who participated,
yes, the other
who
people,
were very grateful for, yes. That I sent them a thank you.
Came through an ice storm to do that.
Yeah, I hope they...
You'll have to learn more next week.
Yeah, we don't want to give too much away.
You'll have to keep listening. It is a bit of a long episode next time, so be prepared. It's hovering more, probably when I stick an intro and outro on it, it's going to be hovering around an hour 40, something like that, so be prepared for that craziness. Yeah, but that was very cool. So, William, how was your week?
Well, I mean, that was the biggest thing I did all week long, really. I've been waiting for you to finish the script, so
I haven't even touched it. I really need to do that. I've been telling some people now, some people who don't listen who are in the voice acting pool, that there was something coming.
Well, I had a friend of mine in New York read it, and she was very excited about it, and she was interested in playing Lady Redcap, who is a character in the
thing. Oh, yes.
Which, actually, she'd be very good for, so.
All right.
So, but I want everyone to give it a read and feel it out. I mean, I already have a good idea of what I want Bloodspare to do.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
Don't, I would rather she read it and kind of give me some feedback.
She's kind of like the fish, huh, you think?
No. No. No, actually, I like her for Holda.
I figured that was where you were going.
She's got a great voice.
I didn't know that. I didn't think you wanted to spoil it necessarily.
Well, she sent me that sample.
Yeah.
And I was really happy with how it, because already before she sent the sample, I was already thinking about this and, gosh, what's Holda going to sound like? And she sounded almost exactly like I imagined, or she can sound like that anyway.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm pretty much...
Because Bernadette Peters did not express any interest, so we have to go a different direction.
Well, but see, Well, I'm not going to say anything else about it, because there's... You know, you haven't read the whole script, so...
I have not. I'm feeling influenced as you speak here.
I know, I should shut up.
I feel I'm like sorry. My opinion is being overrun.
I know. I'm sorry. Gosh.
I'm just your puppet.
But I'm so anxious, and I gave it to you so long ago. You're making this
bitch like this last time.
You're making
time
it
you
so hard
stuff.
For me. Well, this case, I'm
kind
actually
of
waiting.
Prima donna side of you.
No,
that
no.
I don't appreciate it.
No,
all.
No. Now I'm anxious to get
temperamental
it.
Temperamental artists.
It's not like that.
I will try. I keep forgetting. Because it's a thing on my computer. What I should do is transfer it over to my Kindle. And then do it. But I don't know if that works, because it's a Word doc.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
If it was a PDF, I could do it.
The only thing that concerns me about it is that, you know, I want other people to read it.
And you're waiting on me.
Well, and
that.
Not just that, but it's just the project's got to move along, or it might not happen kind of thing.
Sure. Most projects I'm associated with don't.
So, I don't really have anything else to talk about besides, you know...
That was it, really?
That was the biggest news that when we got together and pre-recorded episode 100. So, I mean, what have you been doing other than that?
Not a bunch. Trish and I have been playing a lot of Dungeon Defenders, which I still recommend to people with computers.
What? What's the story? Is that like an old-time game?
No, it's a very new, it's a relatively new game. Hmm. Maybe the last couple years or whatever. But it's available on Steam, which is an online PC and Mac platform for games.
Yeah, it's the big outlet for Valve games.
Yeah. And,
outlet for Valve. Oh, wow. That's
why they called it Steam.
Yeah.
And a lot of the games there, you can play multiplayer with people via Steam, and that's true in this case, too. So Trish and I can play... cooperatively together.
Oh, I see.
With our separate computers, and yeah, it's a very fun game. It's part action RPG and part tower defense, and it's very fun. And I think we talk about this in episode 100, so we probably shouldn't cover that too much. Still reading my book. I think I figured out what I'm going to read after I finish this book. Finally played my Dresden Files game again. That went pretty good. I got to reveal a lot of my previous machinations in this episode and watch them lose their mind.
Well, some time back you said that it looked like there was going to be sort of a bottleneck in the story where it might end, where there was a possibility where it could,
I did?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought you said that something was happening where it looked, well, no, or maybe it was one of the sessions, it looked like it was heading toward that, and then it didn't kind of thing. I don't remember.
I don't know.
You don't remember either?
You might be making a lot of this up.
Maybe I am. I don't know.
We spent this whole session in the dream world of one of the characters.
Okay.
And in that, we faced off against the spirit that had been possessing this character, and discovered that this spirit was, in fact, a spirit that we had met a long time ago that had been treated, let's say, a little bit poorly by one of the PCs, and that, in fact, had gained the ability to possess this individual because of a different one of the PCs, and a bargain that they made that was, as often is the case with bargains with fairies, not quite what they thought they were bargaining for.
You need to be careful.
And so they all, there were a lot of drop jaws and a lot of yelling at me.
Yelling at you? Why?
For being so evil.
Oh, wow. That's kind of your job, isn't it?
Yes. No, I think they were pleased overall, but at the time, you know, just a lot of swear words popping out as it all clued in. And I was so happy because the person who's usually the last one to catch on when the second shoe drops and this kind of stuff was the first one to catch on this time. And it was mostly about her character, and so she was freaking out, and all the other players in the room were like, what? I don't... Huh? It was very fun. But the short version of this is one of the players who can see and interact with the dead on an earlier adventure encountered a ghost of a recently murdered young teenage girl. She gave a very half-hearted sort of attempt to send this girl on to the other side, as it were, with some instructions about if she saw a light, she should follow it, and she should maybe think about any past relatives that she could go and join and things, and kind of left her to her own devices. Said individual, largely because of the trauma she'd experienced, was a little bit messed up. Recently, this player has been being tracked around by some weird spirit named Scarlet that has been sort of... It was a very creepy and mysterious thing, but very worshipful of her. But then eventually turned out to possess her friend and make her friend do terrible things in her obsession with this player. So it now turns out that Scarlet is, in fact, that teenage spirit from earlier, given a bit of power and ability from an unknown malevolent source at this point, and that she originally was possessing the player. If you'll recall, a long time ago, one of the players put a hole in the head of another one of the players, magically speaking.
Yeah.
Messing with their minds, breaking with the third law.
Yeah, right.
Well, at that point, the Scarlet got in there.
Oh.
But this was fixed, because he made a deal with a fairy to have his friend healed.
Mm-hmm.
What nobody realized at the time was that healing his friend wasn't a matter of actually making that wound disappear, but simply transferring it to a different player.
Oh.
And Scarlet went along with.
Oh.
So it was really fun, because the recriminations just went crazy of who was blaming who for what. And because my players are who they are, they're all blaming themselves. But they're like, oh, so this is my fault. They're like, no, it's not. It's my fault. I just, no, it isn't. And the one player who's sure it's not their fault is like, yeah, no, it's all y'all's fault. So that was very fun. And that was a little bit inside baseball and boring. So now we'll move on. Ezzy's here. Ezzy's not in episode 100, so prepare for that. Ezzy has not been doing well.
Oh, no.
Ezzy has been having her difficulties with her eating again.
Yeah.
And some bits her difficulties with throwing up after she does eat.
Hmm.
So now we're giving her some pills, which theoretically should help with some of this stuff. And we're now sprinkling some probiotic stuff on her food, which should help. We're hoping it's just basically tummy troubles.
Because
she does have a very communicative tummy at times. If you hear her when she's nearby, it goes gurgle, 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 gurgle. And so we're hoping that's some of it. And last couple nights, she's eaten really well, so that's a good sign.
Well, I hope she's okay.
Yep. Okay, that's all I got. We better move along, because it's going to be like -7 tonight.
Yeah.
And that's not hyperbole, people. The actual low tonight, -7. Be glad you live where you do. Unless it's here, then commiserate. All right, what's in the hat?
Stephen D. Gerbic.
Steven Gerbic from Serbia. Haven't heard from you. Steven, hope you're still there. As I'm learning, there are many quiet masses out there. So we have us. We apparently have the hard hats, of which we're all familiar. And then we have just legions of hatlings. Quiet little hatlings. Listening with rapt attention to all of this.
Oh, legion's pretty big.
Quietly. Legions!
Okay, I really don't know if I understand this, so maybe you can help me.
Usually I do.
In city, there are fractions. Should it be faction? Vampires, changelings, mages, and vampire hunters, and parenthetical it says church, which city structures would each infiltrate as day jobs. Then it says elaborate. I don't know what that means either.
No, it's elaborate. It's very elaborate. Is this abbreviated?
No.
Wow.
Did I miss something in how that's supposed to be read?
Wow.
You don't even know what it is?
Is it making reference
to something?
Well, yes, I believe so. Let's assume that the hat is the typo, and that it does say factions,
okay,
not fractions. The hat has been known to misspell before. So have the listeners, but either we're going to assume somebody at some point, because I really have no idea what this means if it's fractions.
Okay.
So in a city, in a fictitious city somewhere,
I guess,
there are factions.
Factions, right.
Of various supernatural creatures, which specifically come from White Wolf games. That's what this is from.
Okay, okay.
So we have vampires.
Yes.
We have changelings. We have mages. And we have vampire hunters, which apparently are largely, in this case, associated with
the church. Okay.
That's not always the case in this game, but that appears to be in this situation.
All right.
So these are all functioning, causing all sorts of supernatural trouble and or trying to eliminate all kinds of supernatural trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to have some sort of cover, some sort of functionality in the daytime. Someplace they live, someplace they earn their money, someplace they have their influence in the actual structure of the city itself. So what specific city structures would each faction infiltrate?
Well, what's a changeling? Is
a changeling in the context of the White Wolf game?
Yeah.
People are going to tell me I'm wrong here, because full disclosure, I never actually played changeling.
Because
I played most of the White Wolf.
Because
games.
In lore, a changeling is a creature specifically from the other side who's replaced. That human child is taken.
And that is similar to what we're dealing with here.
Okay.
We're dealing largely with a fairy creature who, for whatever reason, is essentially trapped in the mortal world now. We get into some beta. This is old or new World of Darkness. Let's go with old.
let's go with the old.
Basically, needs to keep things interesting. Is constantly fighting the pull of banality that will just turn them into a normal mortal.
I see. They can become a normal mortal?
Essentially, yes.
Oh, I see.
They'll just be boring and or maybe die. I don't
what
know.
Happens,
but bad shit happens.
What happens with the person that they've replaced?
That I don't know that specifically goes along.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that that is the case.
Okay.
Here. And again, didn't play Changeling. Played most of the others.
Now a mage...
In this version is largely an... we're dealing with the concept that... reality is subject to perception, and the current reality we're in, through a lot of machinations, is the perception that is forced upon all of us. Mages, by and large, are the individuals who are aware of this and can, within certain limits, alter reality to their specific perception.
But are they also... The only exposure I have to this whole thing is... I played a video game called Hunter...
The Reckoning
or whatever.
Yes.
And the mages seem to be almost like a human incarnation of something else, spiritual.
Theoretically, it's to try and make it simple. Their souls are particularly powerful and tend to be reborn again and again.
Okay,
That's the overly simplified. Wow! If we have any good White Wolf fans out there, they're going to be so pissed off at me. But if we were really going to get into detail, we would take the whole episode.
Well, yeah, and the vampires are they undead? Are they?
Yes.
And
essentially,
do they have a problem with the daylight and things like
that? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Daylight's bad. Crosses generally aren't what they actually are repelled by in terms of crosses is actually instances of faith, of true faith.
Okay.
But sunlight is bad. Fire is bad. Hunger is bad. They all drink blood. Yeah.
Okay, which city structures would each infiltrate as day jobs? Well, the vampire wouldn't have a day job, would they?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just need to stay out of the light?
Yes, but frequently, in order to further their causes and things, they will infiltrate mortal organizations. They also frequently use individuals as herd to feed off of,
okay, but
or individuals to protect them during the daytime
hours.
So
they don't have to sleep? Ever?
No, generally they sleep during the day.
Okay.
And so they often need retainers of some sort to protect them to make sure that nobody's got... No vampire hunters.
Right. For example. So their day job would be at night, probably.
Probably. Okay. Day job's a pejorative term.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
The thing is, I've given this, some of this thought myself in my own stories, but my vampires and whatever are very different.
Metaphysically speaking.
Well, most of the non-ordinary creatures that I deal with, they don't really need day jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got ways to get around the whole day job problem.
Well, and the funny part is, in this context, there are actually many different clans of vampires, and they all would infiltrate different parts of society.
Mm-hmm.
If all of these factions exist... the changelings are probably largely going to mess with the nightlife, the social scene. They will probably own the local dance clubs.
Do they need a day job?
I think it's helpful. I mean, everybody wants resources and everybody wants influence. Most of what these people want is tied to normal mortals in some fashion.
I see.
Are werewolves on there?
No.
That's weird.
Well,
so the vampires would probably grab hold of financial and business.
Yeah, I think that nowadays, even in stories, vampires are kind of, you know, the obvious metaphor for bankers and.
A little bit,
and CEOs and the like.
There is some of that.
So that's kind of easy.
But see, we also have the pretty vampires that, you know, go to the nightclubs and pick up a chick and drink her blood a little bit and then go on their way.
But as
which
you said,
actually is also a metaphor, but it's mostly for a kind of social predator who goes out looking for one night stands.
But those people need their quote unquote day job. So what are they going to do? Again, probably. Something in finance or something to make them a lot of money so they can go to the best clubs and if something happens where they get found out or someone suspects them of murder, they can make it go away.
And they can buy the really good blackout curtains.
Yeah.
That's
probably an easy one.
The mages will infiltrate the scientific community.
They will?
Because they can disguise a lot of their research and shit as experimentation.
So academia.
Exactly, yes.
You say the changelings would be...
I know very little about the changelings, well, but I figure they would largely be involved in the entertainment business. But I don't really know.
But you're saying they need to do something to remind them that they're not ordinary...
I can't remember if they need... crazy shit or if they need other people to see crazy things. I don't remember exactly what their sense of sustenance is. I do know that their ultimate bane, no pun intended, is banality.
Right, but you can fight that in a lot of ways. I mean, for example, why wouldn't they like found a commune and run it almost like a cult with people? I mean,
maybe they do. I don't know. I didn't play that one.
All right.
Mark may still be playing it. If not, he's played it recently. So Mark can answer that for us on the blog. And you all can go see what Mark has to say at themagicaltalkinghat.com. Once again, that is themagicaltalkinghat.com.
The stereotype for hunters, monster hunters of any kind, really, is, you know, basically they travel around. They don't stay in one place. If they need resources, they do illegal things like steal people's credit cards or whatever, and they have the arsenal in their trunk and all this other stuff.
That's one variety. There's also the heavily influenced church variety, in which there are special warrior monks that are secretly trained by the Vatican.
That's true.
And they run entirely on the Catholic Church's tab.
That's right, but
and they're usually really well-dressed.
But that's about it, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to be well-funded and you're going to be working in some official capacity, it's almost always affiliated with the church. It's not like some company doing it.
Otherwise, you're a dirty mercenary.
Yeah.
And in that case, it's
with a heart of gold.
It's usually because like your sister was eaten by a vampire or something like that.
Right.
But occasionally there's also the hybrid where you're the dirty mercenary who is primarily hired by the church.
Okay.
Because they don't have their secret group of warlock.
Why wouldn't a changeling decide, you know what, I'm going to have to be a hunter or something, because otherwise, you know,
that is just crazy.
Well, you hear what I'm saying, though. If you're not a hunter, then you don't have something naturally in your occupation that's reminding you that you don't live in this world. You live in the magical world of all these creatures, and you know, it's all always right there in your face because you're hunting these things.
So many LARPers out there are screaming right now. Half of them telling you what is wrong with this idea, and half of them going, why didn't I think of this before? Oh, my God! I don't know how changelings work.
Well, just based on what you've said so far about them, I mean, you know, there's ordinary humans access the uncanny, I guess you could say, or the ecstatic in two very distinct ways. I mean, look at any study on spiritual pursuits and you know, making contact with the other side or whatever, and there's always at least two ways to get there. One way is, you know, with, like you were talking about, if they were in the entertainment industry with music and rhythm and dancing and all this stuff, but also meditation. In fact, if you look up any definition of ecstasy or experiencing spiritual ecstasy, they'll always say, well, it's either something you attain through dancing and a lot of activity, and you can get in kind of a trance with it, or through meditation. So what looks on the surface be two opposite activities can both lead to the experience of spiritual ecstasy.
I don't think changelings meditate very much.
You think they're more of the, I want excitement and I want...
Possibly. Or possibly of the vampire hunting kind. Because that's our thing now.
But what I was getting at there was, you know, you were saying that they might be an entertainment, but some people might see that as banal.
Maybe they'll be both, like those Gregorian monks that did the chant CD. Maybe they were all changelings. That explains so very little. And really brings up a lot more questions, I think.
Well, so I think we've given some very stereotypical answers here.
I'm worn out on this one, Steven, but thank you very much.
Actually really like that question. Maybe
that's because you haven't played as much White Wolf as I have.
Oh, okay. I think pretty interesting.
I know the hat's getting a little light, people. Some folks should write in more. Write to the Magical Talking Hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, Once again, that is themagicaltalkinghead @gmail.com. Right there. Keep it short and to the point, but write about whatever you want. And I'll make fun of it. All right. Once again, I feel like this is a repeat question. I don't know. I feel like that a lot lately.
Okay.
I guess maybe I just am psychic or whatever. This is from Sir Guido.
Okay.
Sir Guido, famously, probably best known for doing the intro and outro to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. Lesser known for his YouTube channel and his videos entitled The Portly Paladin. Or Paladin. Or whatever you want to call it. I used to get in street fights over that as a kid playing D&D.
Yeah.
Paladin, Melee. That was a bad one. It was a mess. When you start playing D&D as a kid, one of the biggest, like, chasms that can show up between you and your friends is how to pronounce all these words nobody has ever seen before.
Well, or heard pronounced.
And heaven help you if you get into a discussion about the word THAC0.
What?
THAC and a number 0.
What's that?
All capitalized. That is a statistic in Dungeons & Dragons starting, I believe, in 2nd edition AD&D. That determines your ability to hit people various armor class rating. Specifically, it stands for 2 hit armor class 0. And is pronounced Thaco or Thaco or Thac 0. There was one crazy ass kid who was on some sort of ADD medication who pronounced it Thake Zero, but we never played with him.
No one ever pronounced it Thocknot.
No, I like that, though. Thocknot.
But people argued about it.
Oh, yeah. And Melee and Melee and and Paladin and Paladin.
Tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off.
All right. Well, Sir Guido, again famous for intro and outro of this podcast.
Yes, yes.
And also the portly.
Yeah, you already said all
thing.
That. Are you okay?
Just want to make sure people know. Writes to us and says, "Dear Hatlets."
Hatlets.
Oh, let me ask you something.
Okay.
Are you familiar with applets and cotlets?
Applets?
You okay in there?
Applets, I think. I think so.
No, these go together. If you knew one, you'd know both.
Well, then I don't know.
Applets and cotlets.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought this was a thing throughout the world, or more accurately, throughout the U.S. Apparently, it's very regional to where I grew up. It's a type of candy. And it's kind of a grown-up-ish sort of candy, because it's these weird squares that were kind of jelly-like, that were fruit and nuts. And are you familiar with Turkish Delight?
What?
From Chronicles of Narnia. Have you ever experienced it?
No.
It's a similar kind of thing. It's just sort of, it was sort of almost like Jell-O, but without the give to it as much. It wasn't as rubbery. And there were two varieties. There were applets that were made out of apples, and cotlets that were made out of apricots.
Don't know. No, never heard of them.
My parents sent us a big box of them for Christmas.
Okay.
And it was funny, because I had just been talking about them, because we had gone to the cheese shop in Kelowna, and I saw them there.
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, applets and cotlets." And Trish said, "What are those?" And I said, "You don't know applets and cotlets?" And they're the thing. But it said hatlets, and it reminded me.
Huh.
Also, I think it's interesting now that I'm older, because applets for apples could be applets for apricots. So it could be applets and applets.
So they had to make them. They had to
if you were going to say cotlets, then you should be like leslets or something.
Yeah, it's the end of apples. Right. No, you're right. Mm-hmm.
So I also mentioned Hawkeye apples somewhere the other day.
Oh.
I think it was right over there.
More popularly now known as the Red Delicious, but
See, I consider them two separate things then.
Well, they are kind of now.
Because Red Delicious suck now. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, what is it?
See, I'm not even trying anymore. I'm famous now. I don't put no effort into this shit anymore. Anyway, Dear Hatlets, says Sir Guido.
Okay.
Famous for.
Yeah.
All right. Ice cream or gelato?
No, I think we might have gotten ice cream or pudding or something before.
Yeah.
I really don't care either way myself, but.
Really? Why is that?
I don't know. I've had gelato and I thought, oh, this is just like ice cream.
It is not, though.
But to me, it is. You know me, I don't really. I'm not very sophisticated in this stuff.
You are kind of a hillbilly.
Yeah, I mean, when I either like something and I don't, and I usually do, so. You know, if someone says, oh, do you notice how subtly different this is from ice cream? My answer, of course, usually is, no, I don't really notice. It's cold, it's creamy, it's chocolate, which is what I usually get for a flavor and this kind of thing, and it's all the same to me.
No, you usually get salt flavor. Because as we all know, that's your favorite snack food.
No.
See, and I get confused on this, because in my mind, gelato is much creamier.
Well, yeah, I believe there's a real difference
in the makeup of it is that gelato uses milk, whereas ice cream uses cream. And that seems opposite to me to how they actually are.
Again, I mean, I can probably tell the difference if you set one in front of me and that's ice cream. I mean, I could tell the difference probably, but it's not a difference that makes a difference
to
me. You
would just take the two and mix them in one bowl.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't really care.
You are what we in the business call a Philistine.
Yeah. Well, and then, of course, I avoid dairy most of the time these days anyway. So most of the time I have anything like ice cream. It's made with coconut milk, which is awesome, by the way.
But cheese.
Which I've actually had in the last several months quite a bit of actual cheese. Yeah.
I love cheese.
Because,
in fact, when they had the cheese fire in Norway, I wanted to go there with a fork into the blaze. You heard about the cheese fire?
No, I didn't hear about
it. In Norway, there was a warehouse full of this particular brown cheese that caught fire and wouldn't stop. It was like a tire fire because there was so much sugar and fat in the cheese that it burned for like 5 days. And
they could not stop it. I didn't hear that.
And I'm like, how interesting. I just want to eat the melty cheese.
Well, I'm not death. I'm not that crazy about cheese. But I do like real Swiss cheese, like from Switzerland, as I probably mentioned.
You have mentioned that.
And there is a...
You have to get me some of that. Because you lead me to believe that it tastes very different than any other Swiss cheese I've had.
Oh, I think it does. But
like, I mean, I've had like a good Jarlsberg and stuff, but that's not the same. You're saying it's a different monster.
Yeah. Well, but there's a Amish cheese maker in the area who makes a Swiss cheese. Now, recall that the Amish come from the Mennonites that come from Switzerland, so it could very well be that they use the exact same process.
Oh.
We bought some genuine Swiss cheese, and we tried it up against this Swiss cheese. And
what happened? You thought they were both gelato?
No.
Oh.
I did get the sense that they were, again, both made a similar way. However, the local Swiss cheese was a little sweeter, I guess you could say. It had a sweeter sort of taste, but the texture was the same, and that distinctive note that you get from real Swiss cheese was there too. So
that note is a F above middle C.
So yeah, I liked it. Another thing that we've been trying at the house or eating at the house is cheese made from raw milk, specifically for the probiotic.
So what's that like?
Oh, it's quite good. It's quite good.
So as opposed to pasteurized, essentially.
Yes, yes.
But so is there a distinct difference in the flavor?
I don't know. I mean, what we're getting is cheddar, and it tastes like gourmet cheddar. I mean,
okay.
I don't know if it tastes a lot better. What I do know is that the probiotic benefits you're supposed to get from it.
Yeah.
I mean, those are very definitely there. I mean, that's probably...
You're pooping like a rock star?
That's not what I'm saying.
Are you pooping like a rock star?
No, I'm not going to answer a question like that.
Is it because you don't know how rock stars poop?
Well, that's part of it. Okay. But, no, what I mean is, you know, it's... You don't have to... You know, there's lots of different types of digestive complaints.
Everybody poops.
I know, including... There's lots of different digestive complaints, including, you know, just feeling like you have an upset stomach after you eat all the time, you know. And that could be it.
So we should get Ezzy some of this cheese.
Well, I don't know, maybe. That's a good point. But
is it really? I feel like it's not really a good point.
No, I think it kind of is. Because probiotics is... Maybe our listeners don't understand what that is, but... The fact
you know, antibiotics is the opposite of that.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, your digestive system relies a lot on certain bacteria in your gut doing a particular job. In fact, you share a symbiotic relationship with certain bacteria. You need to have this bacteria digestive system. And actually, antibiotics often kill those bacteria.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, when they take antibiotics, find out, or immediately afterwards, they start having all these digestive problems without realizing they're related.
Which is why people in the know, except they're not in the know, but people just know this at this point. It's become a thing. Eat a lot of yogurt while you're on antibiotics.
Yeah, right. Yogurt has the kind of...
And that's why, because it has the biotics. Right. And that's... It makes a big difference for my digestion if for some reason my normal weekday breakfast involves Greek yogurt.
Hmm.
And if I'm off that for some reason, mm-hmm. I notice.
Well, okay, this is what I'm saying. This raw cheese, I think, you know, some people, though, yogurt doesn't do anything, or doesn't, you know, they eat the yogurt and they don't notice any difference. But I had problems with having an upset stomach after I ate. You know,
yeah.
I wasn't having any other type of issues, but I could tell I wasn't digesting well. And, you know, I ate this cheese and it went away. But
does
I mean,
it come in tablet form?
No. I tried other things like yogurt and stuff and it didn't help, but the cheese did. So it kind of depends on who you are and what works for you, but...
Well, yeah, the cheese... I mean, the yogurt was also because it has a shitload of, pardon the expression, protein.
Well, cheese does, too.
Yeah, no, but this stuff is crazy.
But, yeah, so the raw cheese has that... I don't know, it might... You don't think it would help Ezzy?
Well, we're giving her a little powder stuff or whatever. I don't know that she would eat that cheese.
Oh, okay.
I mean, cheese cat food.
Well, the thing about raw milk cheese is that it's hard to find because raw milk is mostly illegal.
Yeah. But in cheese it shouldn't be because it's been cultured at that point. I mean...
That doesn't seem to matter.
Maybe, I don't know. My experience with cheese production and my experience with changelings... Very serious overlap there. Mostly have dealt with both at the same time. Haven't dealt a lot with either, so... I know that cheese is always fighting against banality. By the way, don't ask me how I remember this, but tonight, series finale of 30 Rock.
Yeah, it is. It's two shows together, so it's 1 hour.
Is it? Mm-hmm. We're one episode behind already. So. Mm-hmm. Kind of wistful about that. But I think it's good, because I still think the show is good.
Well, I think it's ending on a high note.
Good.
Yeah, I think so.
Too many shows are not doing that. Like, I don't think Castle's going to succeed at that. If they get out this season, it might not be too bad.
We don't even watch it anymore.
Oh, still watch
and
it, but this season is rough.
It's the last season of Fringe, and we just stopped watching it.
We stopped watching it. The fourth season, we had the entire season on the DVR. And I looked at that, and I was like, I don't care.
I think I remember
recently,
you telling me that.
By sheer coincidence, like 2 days after the series finale of Fringe, I found myself looking up the stuff I hadn't seen on Wikipedia. I didn't think it was done yet. I was just curious, because I had heard that they had gone in way fucked up directions.
Hmm.
And so I looked it up, and wow, they went in way fucked up directions.
Oh, so it's over now?
It is over.
Oh, okay.
This last season was like 13 episodes. It's done now.
You know what is interesting? The household is watching Alias right now.
Oh, yeah. Does that hold up?
I think kind of out of morbid curiosity. That's an interesting question, because one of the things I've observed watching it is that it doesn't seem dated. that much.
Really? Okay.
Even technology-wise, you know, it's like,
I find that very interesting. Some of my favorite shows don't do well with watching.
But you know, well, I don't think it's a very good show. I don't like it.
Okay.
But sometimes when you watch shows that were made in the early 2000s, they look like they were made in the 90s.
Yes, yeah.
You watch this show, and only tiny little things that you see say, oh, this was made 12 or 13 years ago. It's pretty amazing, actually. But it to me, it's not a very good show. But as I'm watching it, you know, I watched Lost.
Yes.
And I watched quite a bit of Fringe. And now that I'm watching, and I don't watch it very much. I pretty much do other things while the other two people in the house are watching it. But I've watched enough of it to go, oh, I see. This is where Lost and Fringe came from, this show.
Yeah.
And it amazes me because while I was watching Lost and you're talking to people about, well, gosh, what's it mean? Nobody ever came along and said, hey, everybody, I watched Alias and this is what's happening. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody ever said that. And I don't know why, because anyone who'd watched Alias could have seen Lost and said, this is all recycled crap. And so was Fringe, for that matter.
Because if you look... Fringe a little, but if you look at them conceptually, if you sit down and you tell the average person what the show's about, they have nothing to do with each other. So it probably didn't even occur to anyone.
Well, if I had watched Alias and, like, watched it, I don't know why I ever would have, because, like I said, I don't think it's a very good show.
Yeah.
But if I'd watched it and then saw Lost, I would have known right away what was going on.
Well, apparently you're the first person.
No, I don't.
Nobody ever experienced
and,
that.
And
I didn't watch Alias either, so, but it was very popular by people that tended to share similar tastes to mine. It was one of those, when the premise originally came out, it did not look interesting to me at all. And by the time everybody was like, oh, this show's amazing, it was like three seasons in, and I was like, I can't start now.
Well, I still don't know why people thought it was amazing. Although, I don't know, although
people loved it.
Jennifer Garner is pretty amazing. I mean, she does a great job with
crappy material. Later on, this became a very big thing in every role she ever played. In Alias, when she's this young teenager, have they determined that she can't have children?
No, I don't think so.
Have you noticed, like, 75% of the movie parts Jennifer Garner is in, she can't have kids. That's like a thing all over the place.
No, but she's very good in it. I mean, that's probably why I will sit down sometimes and watch, because she's pretty amazing in it, which, you know, and a few other people are too. She's not the only one. So that's really impressive. But the stories and the whole setup and the things they change, and sometimes they'll change the direction of the storytelling in a way where you know they weren't going that way the whole time, but they want you to think they were.
Yeah.
It's pretty horrendous. But she is very good. I mean, I've seen her in other things, and I thought, oh, you know, she's okay. She's an okay actor.
She's not a great picker of projects.
But in this show, she's really good. And you know, I thought she did a better job at the whole, you know, Joss Whedon had the Dollhouse, you know. And
oh, God.
A similar concept with his his main female lead playing different types of roles and, you know, Aliases or whatever. And I thought that woman was horrible. Horrible. In it, even when she played herself and when she played somebody else, she was awful. But I think Jennifer Garner does an excellent job.
I don't think that's her fault. I think that's material. I'm sorry, I'm not.
Well,
I'm not pleased with Dollhouse.
But
at all.
But the thing is, I thought the there were a couple other actors in that show who were amazing at all of that. I thought the Australian woman and the guy who's supposed to be.
Did you ever watch Buffy to its end? Are you familiar with Faith?
Yeah.
So what did you think of Faith? It's the same actress.
Well, yeah, I know. Again, Buffy was watched in the household by the younger teenage girl.
Opposed to the older teenage
girl. Even she admitted that it was not a great show. But again, you know, how many shows, if you're a teenage girl, are you going to get to watch if you want to see anything like a strong female lead, which Buffy hardly was that, but Faith, yes, I do remember seeing her in there, and this is where she came from. I recognized her, and in that show she seemed okay, but in Dollhouse she was terrible. I didn't know nothing she did was any good. I thought, you say it was material, but like I said,
I still think Dollhouse was something that Josh needs to apologize to the world
for. But there were other actors
and
in
I
it who were doing a really
I
good job.
I saw only one episode, and I still feel that he needs to apologize for that pilot,
else. You know, no, there were some really good performances in there.
There was also some terrible, terrible lactating.
Okay.
Come on.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You're the one who told me about that, where she has to pretend to be the woman's mother. And so she's programmed, and eventually her maternal instincts kick in separately,
right.
And she fucking starts lactating,
right.
And that's the point where I punch Joss Whedon in the face. I love Joss Whedon, but he needs to apologize. And maybe we can just look at the Avengers as his apology, and then we're okay.
Well, you know, this leads to a whole other discussion about, you know, how certain people... I don't think this applies to Joss Whedon, because he can come up with good original material. But like J.J. Abrams, since that's who we started talking about, you know, his reboot of Star Trek, even though there were huge problems with that movie, did a pretty good job of capturing some of the original magic between the characters without trying to copy those characters.
Are you super excited for the new Star Wars then?
Well, see, that's what I was going to bring up, was that, you know, what's funny about that is... well, first of all, we joked about Lucas selling Star Wars to Disney because, you know, most people were joking about that when Episode 1 came out and Jar Jar Binks was in it. And everyone was saying, well, what is he, you know, is he heading for Disney here? And hey, yeah, he was. So the next joke after he sold it was, gosh, next thing you know, J.J. Abrams is going to be directing the next Star Wars movie. It was a joke, but... There it is.
And Episode 7 is going to be a 2-hour lens flare, which is also the joke, but then it'll happen. No, I loved when somebody did a bit that they drew a cartoon that was Mickey drowning Jar Jar Binks in the toilet after the sale happened, and he just said, "Lie still, my friend, your work is done."
No, but I thought Abrams did a good job. I mean, again, the story was not so great, but the direction
was pretty well done.
I don't know if the next film's going to be any good.
I'm very excited about Star Trek Into Darkness.
But, so maybe he's one of those directors that does better with some material that's, you know, not his own. Because I think most of his stuff, if it's any good, it's almost accidentally.
All right, we got to wrap up. You got shit to do.
Yeah, I do have to go. But thank you, Steven and Sergito.
Thank you very much. And thank you any new listeners we have. I'd say it's not usually this bad, but this is basically it.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
So, yeah, we're sorry. Didn't mean to waste your time, but thanks for coming. We enjoyed the experience for now. Next week, though, big 100th episode, there's people besides us involved.
Yep.
I will spoil and say the producer is involved.
Yep, yep.
I won't say how. There may be CGI. We don't know. It's a thing.
Listen, because the extra people we have, including the producer, makes the show 100%
better. That's very cool. And as you can tell from the video, and as Kia, we already know that one of her questions was involved. But, alright, so we will talk to you next week, but it won't be us, it will be people from the past. Time travel is funny that way on podcast.
Yep.
So enjoy and have fun.
Later.
Alright, let's talk about it.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.